A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
So it's that time of the morning where we take a look at what we can expect in the markets today. And to help us get a bigger picture of things, we have with us on the line Pan Jingyi, market strategist at IG. Good morning, Jingyi.
Morning, Elliot. Morning, Yasmin.
Good morning. So we do know that we start with a phone conversation with you this Tuesday. And guess what? We're meeting for lunch later, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, so am I. So before we actually fill our tummies, let's talk about Citibank's earnings. Last night, they kicked off the earnings season for banks. What did the results tell you, Jingyi, about what to expect for the sector?
Right, Yasmin. So, I mean, we know that there was quite a bit of anticipation for the earnings result. And I'll say that what we've gotten actually is a bit of a mixed picture, but it does seem that the market is taking this in a bit of a glass is half full situation. So, we've seen the earnings per share beat that was at $1.61 against the $1.55 expectation from the market. Revenue missed slightly, but you know, if we just zoom down into the numbers, on one hand, we do have the loans itself rising, but quite on the other hand, the trading income, that I think that was what really came into the picture in the fourth quarter. As we do know, the market turbulence then was quite significant. And of course, you know, even though volatility is by means itself actually positive for trading, what we've seen, as of course, I think is the fact that this is going to be a picture that, well, very likely cut across all the banks, which really is the fact that this extreme risk aversion caused quite a bit of this, well, dampening of the income. So I think, you know, backward looking bits of things that we really will take away from Citibank. But that being said, as we look forward outlook-wise, it does look like Citibank themselves putting quite a bit of a positive picture, expecting trading to improve. And of course, it's already done so at the start of this year. As far as we do see the risk itself, it still looks to be rather balanced going into the year, even though there's quite a bit of uncertainties that will still amount to this volatility that will, well, hopefully be better for the banks themselves. So I think in that sense, and also the slashing of some of these expenses from Citibank, generally paint quite a good positive picture. So altogether, we've seen the KBW Bank Index rose more than 1%, the financial sector being the only one gaining on the S&P 500 Index. So really much more to look out for this week, especially with the mixed ones, including JP Morgan, is expected to come in a little bit better. And of course, on the other side, you have the likes of Goldman Sachs, which, as you know, have a little bit of this 1MDB concern. So there's quite a bit of turbulence that could be expected for the banking stocks this week.
Mm.
Yes.
Tonight, all eyes are going to be on that Brexit vote.
Yeah, just a small case of it, Jingyi.
Bearing that in mind, Jingyi, how do you think Asian markets are going to be trading today?
Well, Elliot, as you do know, the calendar today isn't too well for this moment. So I would think that for markets in the region, generally, we're expecting quite a bit of a quiet picture in the region awaiting that Brexit vote. And of course, ahead of it, I don't think there's going to be too much of a reaction. Generally, the market is just really expecting the vote to come out and yield that negative result, which really narrowed down our choices with respect to what the next step may be for Brexit. But that being said, it's still quite an uncertain picture. So I think the market itself is really just going to await what that would be potentially that could invite a little bit of reaction through the markets as well. Elliot.
Okay. Pan Jingyi, market strategist at IG, on the line with us. Creative technology has been talked about quite a bit. Ryan's mentioned it a couple of times while he was here.
I think he took the day off today to maybe get his hands on these headphones. What do you think, Elliot?
Well, they're called the Super X5.
He's sly like that.
Technology. Yeah, he is sly like that. It's been in the news since, what, last Friday? Mm-hmm. It won 4 awards at CES. Yesterday, it announced plans to work with OEMs. And that's kind of been sending creative stock price rallying. What's your opinion of it, Jingyi?
Sure. So I guess it's a little bit for us in Singapore to geek out a little bit. But I mean, I think this itself definitely is a bit of a new technology, the innovation that's really inspired the price jump more than 600% over, I think, a period of 6 or 7 days previously. But, you know, that means at that point of time, we did hear from the CEO himself saying that might be a little bit overrun at that point of time. But I think as we slowly see this itself take off, the product itself being something that creative seen quite a bit of demand, and of course to this latest announcement where there is the expectation for you to enter the OEM market, which is the original equipment manufacturer market. So it's going to be incorporated, and I think in that sense it's actually going to open up room for a lot more production demand, and of course of this technology, which I think is really something that's going to create a little bit of this disruption. And I think in that sense a lot of the investors are looking into it from a growth perspective. I think that being said, of course, at this point of time, there's not too much projection in terms of how the pickup will be by some of these OEMs. But from that sense, I think that's why we're seeing this kind of reaction. Of course, with more announcements, I think folks like Ryan might be more interested to really just look into this as we move forward.
Nice one, Jingyi. But of course, I'm wondering, are you a headphone fan? Jingyi, do you listen to music in your free time?
Yeah, definitely.
These are gaming headphones. They're for something else. Okay, this is a good last question for you. This is the big blanket question, so you can go with whatever you want. What are you keeping a lookout for this week?
Sure. So, Yasmin, as you do know, the government shutdown, I think that's a big one. At present, the market hasn't really, it's just really shrugging it off. But of course, as we know, S&P Global Ratings published last Friday that if this last two more weeks, that could cost the U.S. economy more than $6 billion. So I'm going to see if the reaction is going to come by any time. Of course, this is also keeping the likes of retail sales away, this kind of data releases. So it's going to leave the likes of industrial production and University of Michigan sentiment from the U.S. on Friday for us to watch this after the Chinese trade data has really affected the sentiment quite a bit. So disappointments here, I think, is going to be, well, trickling to the market. But more than that, I think you mentioned crude prices, I should say, at the start of this conversation. Quite a bit of reports going to be out this week, including the EIA report, the OPEC report on Thursday, IEA. So these are the ones that are going to give us a little bit more of the demand picture, which I would say potentially giving us a bias to the downside. But of course, OPEC, as if the supply situation could help to balance some of this. So potential gyrations for the crude market and of course for energy stocks as well for us to watch in Singapore.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Pan Jingyi, market strategist at IG on the Bigger Picture.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.